What's up? Welcome everybody back to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. And today we actually starting this new series. Oh yeah, don't mind. Like I said, it's pre-recorded, but we are starting this new series. I got my fire pit going. You can't see it, but I got the grill. I got stuff in the grill and the smoker. But anyway, regardless of the fact, we up here. Welcome to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. So we about, like I said last week, we about to start this new series. This new series called Bridging the Gap. And these next two episodes are going to be Bridging the Gap Part 1 and Part 2, Generational Gap. And what we're going to do, like I said, I think you'll like this topic. I think you'll like how it's going to play out. We got my uncle, Burtis. We got my little cousin, baby Terry, from two totally separate generations. And then throw me in there in the mix. And we just talking about different things, different perspectives, and how we have differences of opinions or difference in perspective based off of our generation. Like I said, I really think that this is going to be a real cool, real good episode, real good series and episode. So go ahead, sit back, relax, enjoy yourself, and go ahead and listen to this first part of Wonder Why with L Wonder, this new episode called Bridging the Gap, Part 1, the Bridging the Gap, Generations, Part 1. So thank you once again, and I will, and we will return after this brief message. Peace. Hey, what's up? We doing the crossbreed. Go ahead, cousin.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Chaos Therapy. I'm Leighton Jordan, obviously, in here today. It is a family affair. I have my cousin Lamar, a.k.a. L Wonder. I wonder why I picked that one. And my Uncle Squeak. And no, he does not have a high-pitched voice. He just dropped his phone. And he's upside down now. That is amazing. So we're recording this video-wise. We're also recording this audio. We don't know, Uncle. We do not know, but this is hilarious. And so we are just going to have a family conversation. You know how I usually do, a lot of stream of consciousness. And again, thank you to my gracious family members for joining me on this.
There we go. And I dropped it, but I did not go ahead. All right.
We there. That's
go.
So and this, I like the fact that we just crossing this over, cousin. Because we also going to be playing the same thing on Wonder Why with L Wonder. Our new topic. It's all good. It's all good as we getting situated. So I guess if nothing all else, right. It'll be...
Unc, your crotch is showing, man. It's crotch shots. That is
hey, it's
which is fine for it's fine for audio. No one know, but it's good. I wanted to tell you now before
it's okay. Everybody, I edit that part out.
Good. All right.
I'm situated.
So we were talking. Obviously, this generation. I am very much a millennial. My cousin Lamar is on the teeter of Gen X, born 81. So, and my Unc is a boomer.
Yes.
1963.
Yes.
So tail end a boomer, but still a boomer. What we were talking about earlier was tribalism now in the social media age, more so than we've seen in previous parts of the internet age. The social media age is definitely something that came after the internet age. And we were discussing how people kind of dig in. Unc, what do you really feel about that? Like, what do you think the crux of it was? Like, what do you think the beginning of it was?
I think the crux of it was, you know what? The internet and social media changed the game because it gave everyone a voice and everyone access to certain things. And I think that when we were talking earlier about tribalism, I was telling you that we hold on to these things so tightly and we don't even want to listen to the other side. If you are a liberal, you're only going to listen to, you know, liberal news, read liberal articles, stuff that support your belief. Mm. It's no really looking at the other side and trying to find some common ground, or yeah, you know, I can agree with this part, but this part I probably have a problem with. No, it's either all or nothing now. All or nothing. At least that's the way I'm seeing it.
And see, I think I from what you're saying, I agree the internet has changed the game, but I think the internet has done something that, and it's just me, my personal view of what I think. I think the internet has done something that could benefit if somebody really tapped into it. And I think it kind of exposed a lot of stuff. One, because the same things that we're seeing today with the trial that's going on with George Floyd, with the shooting that just happened, it's exposing more. These things didn't just start happening, but it started exposing more, and they start really putting a face and an idea. Like, just like when we talk about the Bible, if we hear about Jesus dying on the cross, we understand that Jesus died on the cross, he had nails in his hands. But when they, when the Passion of the Christ came out, it visualized it. It gave us the actual picture that made us feel it.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that to a point, Lamar. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, we've seen videos of these killings before. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We've seen them. We've read the stories before, and the excuse just gets taken again. Mm-hmm. I always say it this way. The current excuse always kills the last excuse. It always gets rid of the last excuse, so they have to up the ante. You know, first you had to, you know, you couldn't wear a hoodie. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the hoodie that was the problem. You know, and now it's all about non-compliance. But when are you supposed to comply when you aren't doing anything wrong? If you're just standing there minding your business, what do you have to comply for? That's my thing. And to top it off, this is the last thing I'd like to say about compliance. Mm-hmm. The whole basis of the whole gun debate is about what? If the government comes to take my gun, I'm not going to comply. So what am I going to do? But they tell you to comply any other time, except when it comes to your gun, then you don't have to comply. You know, it's crazy. So
I think with what you're saying, like, it's a lot of concepts tie in. Yes. I think that represents true knowledge. Like, there's very few things that are not most things in life are a gumbo or a jambalaya, right, of the like, because they always connect. But with that, some people try to take those connections and separate them. Like, yes. And it's weird how they pose arguments. It's a lot of logical fallacies that, yes, that they just want to run with the narrative. And I think in the internet, social media age, not monetary gain. Well, sometimes monetary gain, but there is gain, something to gain with catering to your team or whatever, yeah, team you feel you can get the rest of. Yeah.
Like, it's cloud chasing on a different level.
True. And I think it's, and we gave a name to it. So I think it's with, they're like, oh, you should listen to the government at all times. If you don't listen to them, you can't, hey, if they do anything that a cop does, that's just supposed to happen. But it's like, you're also saying you need 15 AK-47s just in case the government comes. Like, I don't know if you know this, but drones exist, and no, yes, matter how many AKs you got, it's not doing anything against the tank. Like, yeah, it's like, and one guy was like, well, Vietnam, they had guerrilla warfare. You live in Gahanna, Ohio. Like, there's nothing guerrilla about, yeah, a suburb. Exactly. Like, there's streets. Like, there's not a jungle. Like, I don't know what you think you're going to do while I'll die fighting. Bro, you're not that tough. You are going to get clapped like a round of applause. Right. So people pose these arguments, and either the people that they follow are really stupid, or the people that they follow know that their followers are really dumb, and they're just going to give them more and more credence. And I think that's where a lot of the clashing comes, and not wanting to listen to the other side. But also, when you say both, like when people say both sides are bad, it's super vague. It makes you seem smarter than you are, and it's stupid. Like, all politicians are corrupt. Okay, cool. Which ones? Give me five. Are we talking about national politicians, state, local? Which politicians are you talking about? Because heck, maybe it's you know something that I don't know, and I should not vote in this corrupt person. But when they say that, and then they don't give you any information, it's like, oh, you just want the social media. You just want to sound like an edgelord. Like, you're not making any sense. Your argument is full of logical fallacies because you kept implementing it. Oh, well, you know, well, I won't listen to anything that comes from CNN. Look, man, if I needed directions to the nearest gas station and Hitler himself knew to a Subway, and I was like, hey, how do you get this Subway? Oh, you go up the street, turn left, two blocks over, it's right there. He's still giving me the information. Now, I can still hate him and be like, I don't like where this comes from, but truth is truth. If it's up the street and to the left, what am I going to do?
Yes.
That's like my spiritual mother always told me, and I don't like seafood, but we talked about this before. Eat the meat and throw away the bones. It's always something in everything that you can actually take something from. And I was talking about Marcus Garvey. And Marcus Garvey, we know he thought like with this ridiculous mindset, some would say to the extreme, to the point where he felt like, but you got to think about it. He inspired people like Malcolm X. He inspired people like Martin Luther King, Louis Farrakhan. He inspired them because his thinking was, okay, you know what? They don't like us here. They don't want blacks in America. You know what? Let's do our own thing and let's move back to Africa. Now, that's really, really extreme. But at the same sense, what he did was he partnered up with some people from the KKK and said, look, since y'all don't want us here and we don't want to be here with y'all, look, let's do this together and let's work together to get us out. So his extreme thinking, was really extreme. But what he did was he was able to say, okay, even though we don't like each other, let's still work together so we can get our motive that we both have together to get to the next point. I say that to say this, when it comes to a lot of what's going on here, everybody's focused on their thoughts, such as we know that the movie with the KKK, when it was,
there's been plenty of those.
Well, the movie, the original one with that before they had Birth of a Nation. We know that the movie the idea of Birth of a Nation was to villainize blacks on a whole different level. You have men scared that all blacks was gonna rape their women. Yeah. You had women, so it was to villainize blacks, and that's what they did. They conjured up these concepts and ideas that they knew was going to scare or villainize people, kind of like we just had over the last 4 years, to pull people towards their side. And so we automatically clam on to what we are used to or what we know. That's why we got so excited. That's why it was so easy, in my perspective, for Barack Obama to inspire so many blacks, because we can relate. It's kind of like with wrestling. We all watch wrestling. When we seen that match between Sasha Banks and
Bianca Belair,
we caught that moment when they first started and they looked around. It don't matter if they was women or not. We was just like, dang, this is huge. When what's his name won the championship a couple weeks Kofi. Ago on Monday night? No.
Bobby Lashley?
When Bobby Lashley won a couple nights, we knew he was going to destroy The Miz, but it was still just like about time. Open a pay-per-view and close a pay-per-view with blacks, it's like when you're keeping their title, it's like about time. So what everybody want to feel something that they can relate to.
It is. When you see representation in a real way. And I think with Marcus Garvey, like someone's always going to be ahead of their time, and then that time comes. And what I think the only fault in Garvey's plans were, very few people foresaw the world economy becoming a world economy. Because you think about this, like we everybody comes from an agrarian society until around the late 1800s or so, where you have mechanized things. And then you have international trade, and with international trade, you have banking. And it would have still been the same fate for Africa, whether Americans went back or not. And to say, hey, let's just go back to Africa, we're generations past that.
Yeah.
You know, even at that time, like you couldn't take me and Lamarza, our great, great, great grandmother, and be like, all right, cool, you're going back to Africa. Even though she was born in 1875.
Yeah.
We had a grant. Well, that's the one I forgot. That sidebar, Lamar, I think I remember telling you that. Madea's great grandmother, Madea's grandmother was born in 1875.
Yeah,
she lived till 82.
Yeah, I met her.
Wow.
That's wild to me.
I didn't know.
I met that little lady.
Like, just like, and she Trish. Had mad kids.
Yeah. Look like Trish?
Wow. Yeah, she looked a lot like Trish.
That's dope. That's dope.
That, like, the, you got to think about it too. Like, you, like, she lived to see you grown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She saw the world change.
Yeah, literally.
She saw from horse and buggy to supersonic flight.
Yeah.
She saw from lighting bringing in wood for a stove to gas stoves and electricity.
And she was on the brink of she was right there on the brink of the internet. She was that's crazy.
And
I think the realization that we are now in a society that everything moves so fast. And I think a lot of it is because of 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah.
That even though you can get canceled, and I think canceling it's a bad thing. I think it's holding people accountable. It's for a period of time. If you do something messed up, you take your licks for a month or two or whatever, fall back, learn from it, move forward. It's not like you're never going to be able to work in TV or music unless you do something super egregious. And I think we are now able to hold people accountable, and then something else is going to pop up.
But it's always going to be something else.
But is that what the cancel culture is doing? Is that what the cancel culture, is that the idea of what the cancel culture is trying to do?
If people think it should be permanent, that's foul. Because
But this
unless
is the
you sexually assaulted somebody, then it should be.
But this is the thing. We've always had cancel culture. Mm-hmm, but because of the internet, it's like letting off an atomic bomb. It just went off because now you can reach more people faster. Yeah. Like you said, the speed. You can reach them faster. And a person is able to dig more because of the internet. Dig into your past or into everything, you know, things people are trying to hide or what you've done, you know? So we've always had a cancel culture. It's just—
they usually kill you.
Yeah, this is like atomic.
I think one of the things that I want to bring up, because what I want to do is, I love the fact that we, just like you said, we got three different generations sitting here. And what I would like looking at the internet, you can see some of the, I think if we could communicate and just talk about some of the stuff, and I want to get into music, I want to get into the times, I want to get into, hell, we can talk about cars, the difference in cars across the generations, just talking about just the difference, because I do believe that we could, because I learn stuff from both of y'all all the time. Like, Bert, you taught me when we talked about music, and I really want to get into music, but you talked about the different quality of music back then compared to the quality of music that we have now. Just not even talking about the artist, but talking about the vinyl compared to digital. So not even talking about the difference in artists and stuff like that, and artistry and stuff like that, but just the quality of it. Just like you said, the internet, like, it's making this cancel culture so much more. But then look how it changed wrestling. Like, we all wrestling fans. Do you remember back in the day, we used to have to wait like 3 months before wrestling came on.
Yeah.
Like certain times we could not watch wrestling. Now wrestling comes on almost every night, and if it ain't on, you got it at the tip of your fingers so you can just start it. Back then, we used to know stuff based off the wrestling magazines, which came out once a month. And the time, you ain't buying them unless you got a job.
Right.
Yeah, just the difference in the internet in a positive way, it gave us so much more access to a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, it did. It gave us access to information faster and as much as we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, because it'll always lead you to something. And I think I told you this, Lamar. I was looking at something on YouTube, and it kept leading me to something else that was interesting.
The YouTube wormhole that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like 7 hours later. I was like, where the heck did time go? You know, so you have, there's some very positive things about the internet, and there's some negative things, like it is with everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you can use it positively, it can be used, you know, negatively.
So, Go ahead, baby. Was you about to say something, baby?
No. Yeah, YouTube wormholes is how I learned about a lot of stuff. Exactly. I think it just comes from our for somehow in our gene pool, we have a very curious mind.
Yeah.
I investigate some stuff.
It is. And I think so with going back to like, and it's so fun, like when we talk about music of the past, there was a lot of bad music made in the 50s, 60s, and 70s and 80s and 90s. But when you listen to the old school stations, they play the hits and they say it playing the old school hits, meaning they're not like they're not gonna play the songs. I was like, this is whack. Why are you playing this now? And I think so many albums sold, even though they made horrible albums, because you had to find, you had to wait till the album came out. We have, I think we give up like maybe quality. If you play me a vinyl record of one of my favorite songs that came out after the digital age started, and you play me a digital version of it, it's still going to give me the same feeling. I think back then in the 70s, 80s, 90s, like when you listen to a record, you really listen to it because you didn't have mixtapes. You didn't have video, like you didn't have passive. It was just there. So you had to digest it and hope that Teddy Pendergrass lived long enough to make another album.
Yeah, but what I think is one of the big differences between the music is earlier when I was young, 60s and 70s for the most part, and part of the early 80s, music was album driven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much single driven now.
Mm-hmm.
Singles. And I always used to say that one of the things I used to like about the early music that I listened to was the concept album, because there was a whole story behind stuff. You don't get that now because everything is single driven. You don't even need to put out an album now. You can just put out a single every month or so.
Yeah, you make just as much money. And what happened was, I'll let you go, Lamar, but like what happened was you also have people, it's less of an investment. Yeah. So if a label likes you, they don't want to have to put, even back in the early 2000s, like they don't want to have to put the money behind you to do an album that flops, because you, the artist, will make money, but also the label's not going to make money. So it's like, all right, let's put out these three or four singles at a time. And if we like it, okay, the streets is buzzing, let's throw them out there. And I think, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and also the reason, because it was album driven at that time, you had what I used to call throwaway singles. That music on the album that you know you're gonna fast forward past, you know it's whack. They know it's whack, but they put it on there because they had to have what, 13 songs on the album at that time?
That's when you get to like with my generation, and I remember, and it's crazy because I remember at one point in time, everybody was coming out with a double CD, and everybody was coming out with a double CD every 6 months. And it was like certain artists, like you had certain artists who had consistency throughout the entire album. Like at that time, Tupac, that's when I started getting into music. You got to play people like Tupac and Biggie, but then we also had
Stevie Wonder's album was a double CD. Was in the Key of Life. That's a double.
Yes, that's a double one. You also had Bone Thugs and Harmony, Art of War. Double CD.
Yep, that's true.
Every track on that CD you listen to, I still listen to the CD today. You had people like Busta Rhymes who had an entire album that you was just banging everything. Ludacris. You had Master P, who was banging, and at the time before he really got exposed for not being a rapper, but it was just a time where I'm about it. You had that transition because
he just flooded the market.
There's a lot of crappy music coming from No Limit.
True,
exactly. That's what I say. He just flooded the market, and he flooded
the market so much that, and that's what it was. He had somebody coming out with albums every 3 months, and for the most part, that's when I agree with you. That's when he just had an album where you got like three or four songs, and then the rest of them is just crappy.
Well, that's because he had his own label and he can do that. But if you signed under a major label, they wouldn't do that kind of stuff.
I think that also transitioned today, because now you got more artists who's trying to do the independent thing. And guess what? The technology is allowing it. Like you can put out your own music and not have to have the money people pushing you or banking you. Like you got a lot of independent people out here now.
Yeah.
They push their own.
And the funny thing is, the main difference between rap and the, I want to say 86 with Eric B. and Rakim to like 02 is that in order to be able to put music out, you actually had to be really good at rapping. And there's a, like, you, if in a thing too, like after a while with mixtapes, like the streets had to love you. Like if you weren't running your block, like if you weren't big in Cleveland, labels didn't want to hear you. Now, so like you had to be better at rapping. And then a lot of people that were at song making. Biggie was a great rapper. Tupac was a great rapper. Snoop was a great rapper. Wasn't really good at song making because the structure of it. And then you didn't know what was going to hit. Now, if you can make a good song, it doesn't matter if you can rap. And then we go like, man, this is crappy. This is horrible. Yeah, but McDonald's also makes $1 billion a year. So it's like you can, it, we're from the generations of you needed to be respected as a lyricist in order to get respected as an artist. But now it's just like Travis Scott's one of my favorite artists. He is not a good rapper. I can objectively say this. There are songs that I really dig, and especially with Snap Music. Everybody doing that, they were the worst rapping songs on the planet. Like, oh my gosh, this is crappy, but this is catchy, and this girl's shaking her booty to it, and I'm gonna get on. That's it.
Because now it's the beat.
Mm-hmm. It's better producers.
I asked my niece at one time, Kobe. I asked her because I was listening to something. I'm like, what are they saying? I think it was when Migos first came out. And I'm like, what are they saying? And she was like, I don't know. I just like the beat. And I think that's what it is. If the beat is catchy, you'll let the lack of lyrics slide.
That's what I'm saying. That's true. There are songs that I love the beat where I don't even know the lyrics at all. Exactly. And I've loved for like a decade.
In my day, you had to, even to be put on, even to be respected, you had to be able to rap. Mm-hmm. Or you had to have something else had to be amazing about
you. You had to have a gimmick.
Like, yeah, gimmick.
That was big with me in my time frame, because you got to think about, I'm going to be honest, we had some of the worst rappers ever. We had Timbaland, we had Magoo, we had Puffy, but all of these dudes had some great gimmicks. Like
Timmy was a great producer.
He was a great producer and a great beat maker.
But he's not a good rapper now.
Wait a minute. But don't tell me that the videos don't influence y'all too.
That's true.
And that's the difference between the generations too.
Yeah.
It's so different because we've seen the importance of videos fade. Because Lamar, you're a little bit older, but like TRL being a suburban kid coming home, like TRL for me from like 99 to like 01 was the most important show. Like 106 and Park was like these shows that came on, and the only time you were, because not everybody had internet or access to it, because the internet was a place you went to instead of a place it just is. And so
it was cable for us.
Yeah, well, I had it. Shouts to Rick and Donnie. And so if you wanted to see your favorite video, you had to wait and hope that it came on. If you wanted to listen to your favorite song, you had to wait and hope that it played on the radio. Yeah. Streaming took away all of that. So, like with the Breakfast Club, they also have talking. Like, they're really good at interviews and everything. If they just played music, they'd have been out of here in about 2015.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at that transition. Because, like, if you don't mind, we can transition a little bit.
Okay.
From music to TV. Look at TV. Just like you said, nowadays, I was talking about this at work, how everything is streaming. Like, they got a streaming network, every single thing. I remember when we used to want to watch the Oscars or the Grammys or everything like that, everybody would be crowded around one TV, around that TV at 8 o'clock.
You remember that?
The commercial came on. We was running to see who used the bathroom, going to get someone to drink, whatever the case. And we was all back in front of that TV at the same time. And the next day we'd talk about, everybody was talking about the same shows. Same thing with Martin. Everybody talked about when Martin proposed to Gina. Like, everybody was sitting at the TV on Thursday night at the same exact time every week to watch this episode or watch this show or watch that show. And we just don't have that. We in a generation where we can pick and choose when and how much and what do we want to watch.
And not only that, Lamar, you're walking around with a TV. You're walking around with a TV, basically.
Yeah, that's
true.
Let me tell y'all something that's wild. especially being the person, the older person of these this thing, I remember when the TV signed off.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And I spoke about that on my last TV episode. Signed off.
It had the American flag.
The flag would be gone, and the NASA anthem would be playing. It didn't be that snow. Now TV is 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
but, you know, we had even if it's filled with infomercials.
That's true. That's true.
It took away a lot of what's what was appointment viewing. Because I remember that's even when they got on demand, you like the main things that are appointment viewing now is wrestling because it's live. Like things that happen live are the most important. That's when it's appointment viewing. But like scripted television, of course you can wait. And I think with that is even though like if a show that is scripted, I would rather it release on a day and then you can just binge it because you're still going to get the views, but I guess with Nielsen ratings and all that stuff, like you have to release it week and week. But like, if you can see it on demand, there's no real reason to watch something scripted that's going to be a series.
Well, and some people don't like waiting through the commercials and stuff either.
But I think that's
I'd rather see it happening than to wait. If it's a Netflix thing or whatever, I'll binge it. But if it's something on TV, I'd rather watch it when it comes on that first time than wait and try to. That's just me.
But that's like Power now. Like, okay, we got into the Amanda got me hip to Power, and then when they started this spinoff with his son, I really got into that. But that's like the Power thing. We know it's a certain time that Power came on, but see now because of on demand, you wait until that day at midnight. That's when you jumping on and trying to, because what you don't want to do, you don't want nobody else to say nothing.
Exactly, you don't want nobody spoiling for you. That's all that is
for you. So it's definitely a adjustment with these. But I like the technology because you're absolutely right. Like. The bad thing is, and I remember when they first came out with the recording with the Hopper.
EVR,
The Hopper first.
Oh, Hopper. Yeah.
Because the Hopper will let you record it. And I didn't never had a Hopper. I didn't get it till DVR. But it let you record something and then you can go back. But you still had to be aware when it came on, because if you didn't record it, you didn't have access to it.
Oh, right? Okay.
Stuff like wrestling, I can record wrestling and go back and watch it a little bit later. But they only get credit for it, and it's the thing with the TV. They only get credit if you watch it within a certain time frame.
Oh.
So, yeah, but it is. So,
and it turned that, and I think what else has changed with technology?
Mm-hmm.
Regular radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll maybe listen to sports talk radio. But any other, I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to things that are more long form. I'm listening to YouTube videos. Yeah. We have so much media. Like I have a IPTV app. I have 8,700 plus channels.
Wow.
I can watch TV from China, India, like anywhere. And it's so funny that's like, you have all these options that you don't need, it's good to at least have it because then you're not wondering. Like I have a phone where I have 256 gigabytes of memory. I've used 88, but I remember when I had a phone that was 64 and I couldn't save anything. I couldn't add apps. Like I was losing. I was like, I'd rather have it than not need it. Eat it and be like, this is, I have to buy a whole new phone.
But I think now this is the truth. Like I said, I'm in the middle. I think there was a value within certain things. And I think that's where the gaps are within the generations is the loss of the value. For instance, I think that there's like, we can talk about respect, parental respect. We can talk about parenting. And you can look at the difference. I remember watching my auntie get in trouble so much and getting into it with my grandma. And then I watched how that relationship made her parent differently than what she was parented, how she was parented.
Yep.
She became friends with her children. And I'm not knocking it. To each his own. However you parent is how you parent. Everybody parent basically what they feel in their heart they need to. So I don't knock it. But at the same time, I just watch how, because you parented like this, this is how you parented. And because of all you parents, and I watched the generations and how your children parent. And then I want to see how their children parent. But it influenced each other, sometimes in a positive way, sometimes in a negative way. Like for me, my kids can't be in an adult's face. Be in an adult's face. But then other people, it's like, no, kids have voices. They have opinions. So, like, let's get into that. Let's
talk about kids would be singing and not heard.
Exactly. Go ahead, baby.
Here's where I come from. And I also got whooped. And at the time, like, I think it was to establish a boundary. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but as Jordan men, one thing we like to do is push boundaries. Don't know where I get it from. I know I get it honestly from my mom, who was a boundary pusher, and my dad, who was a boundary pusher. And so our parents at that time were parented in ways of survival. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to violently keep you in line before these white folk go out there and kill you for any misstep. So a lot of it was an overcorrection. I think now with us parenting, me and Lamar's like, we're getting away from that because we're not in abject survival mode. We're not in the type of environment to where we need to breed soldiers. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a sense of,
I want to whoop my kids.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. But you also have to say that laws change too. That made some behavior change.
Because some parents were just literally like, "What is it Tuesday and you forgot to do the dishes and I've only told you once?" And then they beat them with everything in the house. Like, there was a difference between discipline and abuse. And I think
I'll tell you, mm-hmm. and Lamar know, my mother didn't play. Mm-mm. And I got, because I was the oldest and was responsible for my younger siblings, I got a lot of whoopings. Mm-hmm. But she didn't just beat me to beat me. No. There was always something she was teaching me to let me know. Right. Look, I've told you this a bunch of times, but you know, it hasn't gotten through, but this is going to help you down the road. I didn't understand that until I started getting older. Me and my brother Cornell talk about this all the time, that those things were instilled in us later on. Yeah, you can call it survival stuff, but to me, it was not so much survival as a Black person as it is survival just as being an adult.
An adult, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being an adult. Because you're going to have to get out here on your own, and I got to instill in you some kind of instinct so you can know, you can differentiate, through some things, because mom ain't going to always be here.
But see, this is what I like about it, Bert. This is what I like about it, Bert, because as some people, because this it irritates me. It does irritate me to see somebody who's just ready to beat their child just because they're ready to beat their child.
Right.
It's like the old story I heard where the grandmother, or the great-great-great-grandmother taught somebody how to make this cake recipe or whatever it was. But she said, yeah, you get two pans and this is how you make it or whatever the case may be. So as the tradition kept going down the line, they kept saying, yeah, you use two pans to make this. So one day, generation after generation, it's like three or four generations, somebody teaching their child how to make the same recipe. And she said, well, why do you use two pans? And the mother like, I don't know. That's a good idea. I mean, that's a good question. So when she went back and traced it back, the reason why it initially started with two pans was because they didn't have pans big enough to make what they needed initially. So it's like you're doing it out of repetition. You're doing it out of religion and not out of necessity, out of what makes sense. So what I do like is I think we transitioned over, and this is why I like the conversation, because I think baby Terry has a lot of insight of what he saw but was never explained. So he had to come up with the breakdown and explanation of why this happened that way. Uh-huh. Then when you had conversation like this, now you able to give me and baby Terry some understanding of why this, because we're pretty intelligent and we can come up with some concepts of why we think that this came up. But until we really hear it from somebody who's been in the middle of it or been at it, with me, I talk more. And Amanda says this all the time. I really do talk more. And I'm hoping that you learn from what I'm saying, because if not, the streets gonna kick your ass. And I hate to say it like that, but it got a harder way of whooping you than I do.
Go ahead, Aunt.
No, I was gonna say, this is what made me change my thinking. I didn't know that my mother moved out when she was 18. I didn't know that. Just like just like at that time, I didn't know the reason she pushed us so hard about school was that she didn't finish school. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that she just wanted us out of the house. She knew that, okay, I don't have my high school diploma, and it's been so hard for me, especially with these kids. They got to at least have a high school diploma. They're going to at least have that, you know, and I didn't understand that till later, you know. So sometimes there's some madness, but sometimes there's a method behind the madness. Yeah. And I started to understand the method as I got older, you know, then things started clicking. So
I think a lot of it, and that's a good point, I think a lot of it is like, when you say you're doing it, we got whoopers to sharpen our instincts. And I think a lot, but it wasn't instincts and things that we could use as we got older. Like, I never got a whooping because I didn't know how to file my taxes. That would have been a good thing to kind of have metaphorically beat into.
Right.
Like how to balance a checkbook and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think it's what you're seeing now is an overcorrection. And there's always going to be a pendulum swing. Yeah. Like with the Me Too movement, just in terms of, I have nothing against it because I don't go around doing faulty stuff, but I also grew up in an age where there was, oh yeah, if a girl says no, you listen to her and say no. And the reason why I got taught that at a young age is because I'm Black. I grew up in the suburbs where there are very few other Black people, and my dad, Rick, coming from Mississippi and hearing the story and knowing the story about a certain Black boy that messed up, ended up fatally. And so my whole reasoning for, like, yes, it's wrong, but like, I don't want to get murdered. Like, not even, I don't want to go to jail for this. Like, I don't want my life from, like, I know the extreme of it can happen. Like, if I went and kissed a girl when I was a kid, like, went and kissed a girl, and then she told the teacher, like, my dad would freak out. Like, you can't be out here kissing these white girls because it's coming not just from, like an anger, but, like, a fear. Like, I don't need you carrying this and not realizing that this can't happen. Like, it's a different dynamic. There's a different set of punishments that are going to come to you because of, one, who you did it to and who you are.
But I think it kind of ties into... Because I'm going to be honest with you. When I got older and grew up and everything, I'm like, man, I wish they would have taught me about financial advisory. I wish they would have taught me financial stuff. As I'm in my mid-20s and I'm understanding it a little bit better, getting towards my 30, I'm sitting here like, yeah, they should really teach this stuff in class. And then I sit here and think back a little bit harder and like, they did teach this in class. They did have home ec. They did have financial advisor. They did have these classes, but we didn't want to listen. So when they were offering this, they were offering it, but we didn't want to listen. And especially with me raising teenagers now, I had to understand now when my son is 18, he's legally grown, but
he's stuck in that awkward between the child and adult.
Yeah. Thing. So he don't want to listen and he don't want to say, dad, you were right. But we have to give them the extreme version, kind of like what you were saying, you know, like my mother, look, to this day, well, not to this day, but until I got grown, my mother was like, you better look. She gave me a whole bag of condoms and said, look, you better wear these straps. Bag of condoms. For real. She did it. You know why? Because my mother,
like, I'm a Durex man. What am I going to do with these?
A brown bag. She said, this is something else because for my birthday, she bought me a pager. No lie. I'm telling you, no lie.
That is the greatest visual. She's just buying condoms on the regular. Like, the fact, like, my mom would be guessing the size I would do. Like, that would be crazy.
My mother bought me. She bought me a pager for my 16th birthday. I moved back to Cleveland with my mother at 16. She bought me a pager and said, here, this is something that you're going to need as a 16-year-old. I was hyped. I went over down. I think that was 11th grade. So I met a friend through school, and went over her house, and we chilling. I'm still virgin. Well, no, I wasn't a virgin, but I was still innocent at the sense where I wasn't thinking all that way. But I went over a girl house. She picked me up from the girl house. And as I got in the car, she handed me a bag of all types of variety condoms. So I'm looking like, here.
Gotta love moms.
But my mother was realistic with it. You know why? Yeah. Because my mother got pregnant at 12 and had me at 13. So
I did not know that.
She want to repeat what she's seen or what she went through. And that's just like you said, we do overcomplicate it, but I think we do it because for me, I'm like, man, ain't nobody about to get pregnant. But she like, dude, it can happen.
Like, you're good looking and not that intelligent. Here you go.
She like, here, it can happen. Like, first, so I think we do that. I agree with you. We do over teach. We do over exaggerate. We do overly push these lessons. But it's because we really don't want our children to fall into that same. Like me, I taught the hell out of my son about, and I pushed the hell out of my son and my daughter and everybody else about education. You know why? Because I dropped out of school. I dropped out of high school. And I made, I lied the hell out. I lied to the fullest extent. My mother thought that I was about to graduate high school. And I had everybody thinking I was going to graduate high school. When I failed 11th grade, I was back in 11th grade. I had prom tuxedos rented and me and a girl and everything. And everybody thought I was about to graduate high school when I didn't. So
my that is crafty just to pull that heist off.
I'm not bragging about it.
But it's not a good thing, but man, if you're going to do wrong, do it right.
I was going to my old house, when my report card went to our old house, we stayed around the corner from our old house. I would go there after school, tear it up, and be like, I don't know what they supposed to be sending it to the new house. But I'm telling you, it was a lot of work. And saying that, I stayed on top of my children at their school. Every child, every teacher at my school, at my kid's school, know who I am. Every teacher to this day, no. Oh, hey, how you doing, Mr. Jordan? If they don't know me, now with Serenity, they know Amanda. So it's you overdo it just to make sure that they don't replicate what you did. Like my dad, he did the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you try to prevent that stuff.
Right.
My mother used to tell me, and I remember a lot of stuff my mother used to say. And by her being from the South, she had a whole lot of sayings. Some real, you know, that click, and some you'd be like, lady, where you get that from?
Fat meat ain't greasy. Like, people like to think fat meat ain't greasy, and that's the greatest other thing I've heard ever. Exactly. Fat meat is very greasy.
She used to tell me, you shouldn't expect your child to do no less than what you did as a child.
Mm-hmm. That's what made me nervous.
And that blew my mind. Because mm-hmm. if you look, your child does, they start replicating a lot of the things that you did, and you try to stave that off a little bit. Some people overdo it. You know, some people probably feel they have to overdo it. Yeah. I don't know the situation. Some kids, you can sit down, you can talk to them. You know, you can train them up, you know, like, I don't know, like the elite people do. You just have them sitting back with you and you just explain things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with us, we have to, you know, we have to, because you can't say stuff nice to these kids now. You kind of, you know, you kind of literally have to get in their face.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is because kids now have a curious mind just like we did. And so if my parents said, hey, don't do this, of course, like, to be obeying, to be like, okay, I understand. But like, why? Well, because I said so. Well, that's not going to help. I kind of need context, because if a lot of us don't, like, we're like, our friends are also a big influence. So if you tell me, hey, don't do this because this can happen, I can go tell my friends that and kind of just share the news, like a lot of it. But we got, because I said so.
Yeah,
so I'm just going to figure out how to do it without getting caught. And then when you yell it at me, oh, okay, now I know why not to do it.
Yeah.
See, you never caught that lesson. When they say, that's the thing about it, and this is what, that's why I say the respect the game has changed. Because we did it because she just said so. It ain't got to be no reason, no excuse, no validity to it besides that. But like, for now, and I always tell my kids, I said, y'all lucky, because when my grandma backhanded me and I flew across the floor, she didn't tell me why. While I was getting up, brushing myself off, wiping my tears, I had to try to figure out what I did. So like, it was not about being told, because we didn't get told a lot of stuff. Like, I never understood. I never understood certain whoopings until I thought about it and I got older and like, oh shoot, that's why she whooped me, because I did this, or that's why I got a whooping, because I did that.
No, listen.
My little brother's pager, his little clock pager. Remember, pagers was real big, but before they had toy pagers that was clocks. And I snuck his pager. I was going to middle school and I snuck his pager to school, and my mama whooped my butt. I didn't realize why. because at the same time, pagers was known to be associated with drug dealers.
Yeah.
In my neighborhood, a lot of drug dealers. So she didn't want them to identify who I was or what I was with this idea. So well, she whooped my butt, and I didn't realize why she, I'm like, it's just a toy, it's just a, and I'm justifying it in my own head, but I didn't realize the reason why she didn't want me to do it, because I didn't understand the consequences that I could catch from taking that pager to school.
Fit the description. He's black and he has a pager.
Listen, my mother wouldn't whoop you all the time. She would say, when I get you, I'm going to get you for old and new.
Oh, shoot.
So she would let you slide.
Layaway whoopings are the worst.
Yes, she would let you slide and let you slide, but you would always end up doing the same stuff she kept telling you not to do. So when she got you, she got you. Mm-hmm. You know, and it wasn't for just what she caught you doing at that time. It was for the four things that she let you go on that you didn't listen to. So
yeah, that's true.
Now I think it's now like we're in a situation to where we know like kids are going to have information. Like it'd be good for preventative, you know, because a lot of it, like my parents did not enjoy whooping me, which is great. but it's like, I think a lot of it comes to vocabulary too. If you know the words to properly describe what you're trying to stop, and you can give a good scenario of what's going on, because there's always something new. Like it's always something new, even though everything kind of repeats, but it's like you kind of have to have the clarification, like, hey, don't go out past the streetlights, because not just because I want you to, but because you don't know who's out there. Yeah. These streets are dangerous. This is why I need you home. And then because there were situations when I got in trouble and it gave me an understanding of why, just for down the road. Like that's when I was like, all right, that's when I really, now I still may break the rule sometime, but I'm not going to break that rule. Like I'm going to, there's only so far that I'm willing to go, because like, all right, cool. Like this is going to end up me being dangerous.
Yeah. So my question to you is this, how old is your children?
I got 11, I have 9, I have 7 coming up, and I have 6.
Okay, so you about to transition. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, and I'm sure my uncle can tell back me up. I'm sure my uncle can back me up on this. But that concept is going to transition a lot over the next 3, 4, 5 years. Because the communication gap, no matter how cool you think you are as a parent and how down to earth and how involved and how engaged, it was a shock to my system when I realized that what I'm saying, the kids think, you old now. And it's not just the age of being old. It's the mentality of what they feel like, oh, that's old thinking. Dad, come on now. And this is my son. Now, look, we in the middle of Trayvon Martin. We in the middle of all of these things happening. And my son's still sitting here like, that ain't happening to me. Now, son, you go to school in the middle of downtown. Your high school is on, is off of 9th Street. And you right down there by the lake and across the street from the from the FBI building. So in saying that, you ride the bus from Harvard all the way down every single day. You got on hoodies. That's all you're trying to wear. Instead of wearing a coat, you go wear 3 or 4 or 5 hoodies because you like hoodies so much.
That just seems inefficient to wear all at once.
But see, that's the mindset. Yeah. Think about it. When you was a teenager, did you always think logically?
I tried.
In your head.
I think a lot of it was based on emotion.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is. It's based off of emotions. And it's also based off of the emotions and their feelings and what they think. And what they think is right. So he didn't think that it was a problem. He kept saying to me, Dad, that ain't going to happen here. That ain't going to never happen here. Then that's when we had the Trayvon Martin shooting in Cleveland.
Tamir Rice, you mean?
Thank you. Tamir Rice in Cleveland. And I'm like, dude, this is happening here. It's happening here. So they still think you just, you're thinking too hard. You just over-exaggerate. And that's the mentality of it. We don't know what we're talking about. So I really hope that you don't. But statistically and historically, one of your children are going to teach you that. And that's the that's part of the problem.
It is. And it's one of the things, because I know what they're gonna do and the reasoning behind it. Like, my best one is Riley, because she'll just listen to me no matter what. I don't have to raise a voice. My oldest boy, Quentin, is going to be a terror, because not only is he smart, he has this weird Jordan thing about him that he knows he's smart. And but he thinks he's, because he knows he's smart and everybody knows he's smart, he thinks he's smarter than everybody else, which is, I'm saying this and I'm realizing I'm turning into my mother saying the same thing.
Exactly. So
it's like, it's like, bro, you are 9 years old. There is nothing that you, now you may play, like your end goal may be different than mine. Like mine was to sneak and play PlayStation. Yours is sneak and watch YouTube, but it's the same thing. And you're also leaving tracks. Like for me to play PlayStation, I just had to make sure I put it back. Everything was cool. There's a history on the YouTube, buddy. You're going to get caught. Like you're going to get caught. Like one thing I never did, and even if I really like, I never threw a party at my parents' house, and I never tried to sneak out the house. Here's why. One, I was on the top floor and my house was pretty big, and I would have broke my legs. That'd have been the worst. And two, our alarm system talked. Like, so if you went out the back door, it said back door. If you went out the front, like it told you there was no sneaking out. And I was like, the whooping wouldn't gonna be worth it. Like, nah, nope. There's certain things that I'm willing to get like beat for, and certain things I'm not. And so I think that's where the generational disconnect goes. Just like, bro, like you're trying to do the same thing that I did, but you can't because there's less of a track.
Right. That's right.
Like, there's a history behind this.
I talked to my dad about the same thing, and he was like, yeah, he just explained to me the other day. He comes over every week. He's like, Lamar, what you don't realize, he said, look, I knew that you did this. I knew that you did that. He said, I just never got on you because of it. Some of the stuff, I got to let you go through certain things on your own and let you learn. And I was watching, because certain things with LJ, I knew certain stupid stuff that LJ did, and I'm just like, I just don't tell you. But then even with that, I was thinking about what you said, how to explain it. Sometimes, especially when you got a smart kid, you explain that to that child, and only thing, what they try to do is formulate, okay, well, how do I avoid that one thing that they're nervous about? You don't want me to get caught by the police? How can I avoid, okay, when I get by the police, I'm just going to take down my hood and just walk like I got some sense.
Right.
Or my son, perfect example. I'm thinking, this boy ain't going to never sneak nobody in my house. I got a Ring door camera on the front of my house. He tells her, go to the neighbors, walk up their driveway, come over to the side, and stop clapping, because
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it's something that we would do. This is something that we would think of doing.
You know how the fool got caught?
How?
Because he recorded it, and I seen it in his phone. He
was, you idiot!
Like you said, leaving tracks.
Exactly. You're leaving too many tracks, buddy. You can't. It's not the night like early 2000s. We had no tracks. There's nothing that I did in 04, 05, 07 that you can be like, you did this.
We got caught, and that's what I'm realizing now as an adult. Our parents caught us, just like grandma said. You know, this is for the past, for the present, this is for all of them. So when I get you, don't get it twisted. I got it all together.
Listen, call LJ so bad. Like, bro, delete your messages, buddy. What are you doing?
I didn't sneak anybody in.
You had 18 million siblings. You couldn't.
I used to sneak out.
It's always
the crazy thing about that is that, and Lamar knows this, the steps squeaked. They creaked really, really bad.
So when you're gonna take this jump, steps,
and you hear that, and mama, who's that?
Uh-huh. Because her bedroom's right there at the top of the step.
Stay your ass on the cross.
See, that's when you gotta take. That's when you gotta know which steps creak from which angle.
Dude, they all
don't matter. I know. You cannot be statistic. You cannot be look. You cannot be strategic about these steps. I'm telling you, you cannot be strategic.
You know what? And really, I think they were like that on purpose.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
I'm telling you.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I think they were like that on purpose, because she could hear everything.
She do. Can we transition? Now, peep this.
Go ahead.
Relationships. What's the difference? Look at the difference in relationships. Now, we all, collectively, all three of us, we got so much experience. Whether it's really, 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 really high highs and good relationships to really, 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 really low lows and some terrible, crazy relationships. And you can blame it on the other person. We can take a lot of the blame, but the relationship.
I think relationships now are different because of social media, but not just social media, people move more. Like if you go back a couple generations, most people weren't leaving their home base. Like it was very rare. Even like my dad, Rick, moved from Mississippi to Columbus. And that was just something that most people just didn't do. Like my mom moved from Cleveland to go to school in Cincinnati, went to school in Columbus, but your family stood there. Like most people don't leave the culture. So you only have access to the same people. And I think with not even just with social media, but with people having access to go other places, relationships are always going to be different, because if you really want to just go and treat people like Pokemon cards, you just got to get better or more for someone that you feel is better. You can't like, and it's for us people who like loyalty and stick with one. For some people, just like, I want to keep trying to reach that other level of finding who I can. And if you're the person, like if you're a person dating that type of person, it sucks. But if you're riding the same wave, you can. There's a way to access people who just want flings or who just want to be with someone who has money or has more status. And that's never going to go away. It's not. And I think what it is, just like, oh, well, back in our grandparents, they stayed together and fought through stuff. You don't know what they went through. Like, one, divorce, it was hard for divorce proceedings until like 1975. Yeah. And then two, like most like people, they couldn't leave because your community was just right there.
Hey, so you just heard part one. You see, we got some interesting stuff going on between baby Terry and between myself. We got some very, very, very interesting stuff. So listen, if you got any questions, if you got any comments, if you got anything that you want to say, if you got anything you want to add to the discussion, first off, you can always leave a comment on Facebook at the Wonder Why with L Wonder page on Facebook. You can always go to the website and do the same thing, Wonder Why with L Wonder, and that's Wonder with the letter Y. Wonder Why with L Wonder .wordpress.com. Or you could just email me, lwonder821@gmail.com. Those three different ways. So just not let me know what you think about it. And be sure to return next week so we can continue on with this conversation between Bert, between baby Terry, and myself. So we can return to part two. So just let me know what y'all think, and I'll talk to y'all later. Wonder out.